Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Today is the Q&A that followed the message on James 2:14 to 19, and there were six questions. Number one, if you're stuck in an enslaving sin, does that mean you're not saved? You don't have deeds, and so you don't have true faith? Number two, are you saying that there's only one solution to every spiritual problem? It's faith? Number three, how do you increase your faith? Number four, in Romans 10:9, Paul says that all we have to do to be saved is believe. He doesn't mention deeds. Why does James require deeds? Number five, is it required that a person bow the knee to Jesus as Lord in order to be saved? And number six, is it necessary to believe that Jesus rose physically from the dead in order to be saved?
Okay, the question is, what about people caught in an enslaving sin? Usually, if you're stuck in an enslaving sin, that's usually when people doubt their salvation, because it just seems like, I'm powerless. I don't have victory. I don't have, and I must not even be saved. Very, very common. So it's a great question. Here's what I would say. If you wake up every morning thinking, I'm not going to do it again today, and then most days you end up doing it again, and then you got all this regret and sorrow, is that proof that you're lost? It depends on why you don't want to do it again today. There are some people who they say, I don't want to do it again today. And it's only because this sin is causing so much problem in their life, and they're sick and tired of the consequences, and they're fed up with that. They want to have a life free of all that consequence and problem. That's not necessarily evidence of any saving faith. But if you wake up in the morning and your feeling is, God, I don't want to displease you. I don't want to dishonor you. I love you, and I don't want to be a reproach on your name. I don't want to put distance between me and you. I don't like it that my prayers are dry, and my reading of Scripture is dry because of my sin. I don't like that. I want to be near you. I want to be close to you. If that's the cry of your heart, I don't see any rational explanation for that other than you've got saving faith. Because that is not normal for an unbeliever. Unbelievers don't feel that way. They just don't. They don't want to be near God. So to answer the question, no. Being stuck in enslaving sin is not evidence of being lost. In fact, Paul even said in Galatians 5, he says, because of the battle with the flesh, we do what we don't want to do. We keep doing what we don't want to do. And that's the normal Christian life, right? Because of the flesh. Because we're fighting against the flesh. So the issue in examining your fruit, don't just look in terms of final outcomes. Like, okay, I fell to this temptation 14 times out of 30 days of the month. 14 of them went bad. That's pretty bad. That's too many. And that's oversimplified. Look at your heart. Because one of the fruits of faith is attitudes. Do you hate your sin or do you love your sin? If you're an unbeliever, you're going to love your sin. If you hate your sin, not just the consequences, but the distance it puts between you and God. Do you hate that? I don't know how you could explain that if you're an unbeliever. What would be the explanation? I don't think there is one. And so don't just look at the surface. Go a little deeper and look at other kinds of fruit. Okay, so Doug's worried this is going to make all the prayer groups really boring because everyone's prayer request is going to be the same. Oh, I guess I need more faith. You can still say all the exact same requests. Just put faith in front of it. So, you know, I need faith for overcoming my impatience. I need to trust God for reading His Word so that I'll read His Word more. I need to believe, you know, His promises more. I need to trust His promises about there's power in the gospel so that if I just go out and share the gospel, it'll have its effect. I need to believe that more so that I will share the gospel more. Just all the same requests. But if you preface it with reminding yourself that it comes from faith, faith is a way to tap into God's power, that will rescue us from thinking it's our power. We'll be reminded, no, it's His power. And to tap into that, I just need to trust Him. I need to believe Him in that area. Yeah. Yeah, so that's a good point. So when I said if you don't read your Bible enough, the solution to that is not just to read your Bible more, it's to trust God more. And what Joyce pointed out is the only way to trust God more is to see what He's like, and the only way to see what He's like is by reading your Bible. And so you're not going to make progress in, and that's true not only with reading your Bible, but that's true with any area of faith. Whatever aspect of faith you're lacking in, if you need to increase your faith, you know, I've just preached a whole sermon. You need more faith, just strength of faith, bigger faith, more faith. You say, okay, well, how? How do I get faith? Faith comes through what? Hearing the word. So yeah, it's all going to come from exposing yourself to the truth. But the point I was trying to make in the sermon is it's not just reading the words and getting another chapter checked off on your list that I'm plowing through, you know, Leviticus now. I'm almost halfway through. It's not that. It's looking here for truth about God so that you can see him and then trusting what you see. That's different than just checking off another chapter. And so that's the point I was trying to make. Yeah, excellent point. You're never going to increase your faith without exposure to truth. All right, so Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And he doesn't mention that you have any deeds. That's because, now elsewhere, Paul does talk about fruit and the necessity. And I'll show you that next week. I'll plan on showing you that next week. But for now, just a quick answer without preaching all of next week's sermon. What Paul is saying is how to get saved. What James is saying is how to tell if you're saved. So this is how you get saved. And then you do this. You say, okay. Because when he says, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, is he talking about dead faith there, you suppose? Or saving faith? Saving faith, right? Obviously he's not talking about dead faith. What James is saying is, Paul's saying, if you have true faith in your heart, then you'll be saved. And then James comes along and says, here, let me show you how to tell if it's true or dead. That's right. So one of the big debates that rages in theology, Christian theology, is what's been dubbed the lordship salvation debate. And one side of that says, in order to be saved, you have to receive Christ as Lord. He's the King. You have to bow your knee to him. And the other side says, no, bow on your knee. That's works. You just have to acknowledge the information as being true. We in this church would stand firmly on this side of that debate. Say, no, you got to bow the knee. Because if you say, I believe you're Lord, I believe the fact, I believe the information is true, but you won't bow the knee, then it proves that you don't. That's like saying, I believe the building's on fire, but you won't run out. If you don't bow the knee, you're not believing in a Jesus who is actually Lord, which means you're not believing in the true Jesus because he is Lord. Okay, yeah, so that's actually addressed in 1 Corinthians 15, because there are some people then who are teaching the same thing, that Jesus' resurrection from the dead, it wasn't literal, physical, bodily resurrection. It was just sort of the Christ spirit coming back, his Christ consciousness sort of reemerging, and it was metaphorical, it was figurative. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, I would urge you, just go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 15, because in 1 Corinthians 15, what Paul's saying there is, if that's true, then we're all lost. The whole Christian faith is a complete sham. We're to be pitied more than all men. We are a laughingstock, because we're banking everything on the literal physical resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And he talks about physical, the body itself physically rising. And so that's an important chapter to read, an important principle to understand, because without belief in the physical resurrection of Jesus, what happens is we are accusing the gospel writers of being liars, because they did not talk about a spiritual resurrection. They talked about an actual physical resurrection. They reported a resurrection where Jesus said, touch me, I'm flesh and bone. Spirits, he even said, because they might have thought that. He said, spirits don't have flesh and bone like you see I have. Touch me. And then he ate some fish, and it's like, this is real. This is physical. If it wasn't physical, then we got the gospel writers are liars, Paul's a liar, the whole faith is a sham.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.